Israel, ha'omrim shma Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light. This program comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. We bring you today Robert Nathan's book, Jonah, adapted for radio by Harry Kleiner. Alexander Scobie is featured as the narrator and Jack Lloyd as Jonah.
In those days, there were prophets in Israel. Often they would live in the desert beyond the Jordan, in caves and in rude huts of clay. Surrounded by rocks and sands and skittering lizards, they would see visions and listen for the Lord's voice. Through this life, they purified themselves to carry the word of the Lord back to their people. And among these prophets was young Jonah. Jonah shared his frugal meals with the lions of the desert and with the birds and foxes and ravens. One day, a fox came out of his hole and, seeing Jonah, said,
Jonah?
What? Did you speak?
Of course. You heard me.
I thought I heard you.
I wanted to ask you something.
Oh? Yes?
When I go down in my hole, God goes down after me. Now, is God a fox or a Jew?
The Almighty made us in his own image. So he has the appearance of a man.
He created animals, too.
But he made them in the image of animals. Of course, it's true that some men worship bulls and doves and such idols. But our people may worship only the Lord.
Very puzzling. I dreamed once of a god who was a raven and kept pecking at me with his beak. Oh, well.
The fox lay down and went to sleep, and Jonah thought deeply. The lizards scurried about the rocks. The wind whispered across the desert like the wings of God's messengers. And the prophets sang to the Lord their God.
Vayomer aleihem ivrion ohechi v'yesadoshem Elohei hashomayim Ani yorei asher oso es hayom ve'yes hayabosho.
Now in time, the Lord spoke to Jonah and sent him to speak to the people of Israel. And Jonah did so. And though people did not always do as he said, the fame of this new prophet spread throughout the land. And in time, he came to his own village, the village where he had been born. And even there, his fame had reached.
So we actually have a prophet in the family.
Yes, Uncle.
Indeed we have, and why not? A great prophet.
Of course. Congratulations, boy.
Thank you, Uncle, but...
Only I wish you'd stay home now for a while, Jonah, and let me look after you instead of going off again to the
but
death.
But, Mother...
What's this? Going away again?
I have to, Uncle.
Oh, no, no.
Alone, off to that desert.
I'm not alone in the desert, Mother. Besides...
But you can't go back yet. Why, the whole village is talking about you and about our family.
Yes.
Do you know what they're saying, Jonah? When will your mother make a feast and invite everybody?
Oh, no, no.
Oh, it would be so nice to have a feast, Jonah.
No, Mother, please, no feast.
How will it look, no feast? An honor comes to us, a prophet in the family, and we don't invite the neighbors over for anything.
My son, just a little party.
And why a little party? It should be a big party, as big as we can afford. Big enough to invite Prince Ahab and his niece, Judith. I heard the prince goes around bragging that Jonah was born in his village.
No, there must be no feast in my honor. Can't you understand all I did had nothing to do with me? It would be wrong to honor me when it was all the Lord's doing. Besides, I have to get back. I'm getting confused. I must go back to the desert and learn what I must do next.
And Jonah took leave of his birthplace. But as he came to the edge of the village, he passed a giant sycamore tree near a palace of stone and fragrant cedar wood.
My love is a shepherd in Sharon. By rivers he waters his
Are you frightened?
I'm not.
Who is it you sing of in Sharon? I've been there. Perhaps I know him.
Oh, I don't know anyone in Sharon. It's just a song.
Why do you sing such a song? Why not a song in praise of God?
Who are you to come into my garden and tell me what to sing?
I am Jonah the prophet.
Jonah? You don't even have a beard.
I said I am Jonah.
Strange. When you spoke of God just now, I seem to feel something. Such a strange feeling. So peaceful. And yet it hurts a little.
That is how I always feel about him.
Then you are Jonah. Oh, don't go.
I only stopped because I heard you sing.
Oh, there are so many things I'd like to ask you. They say Jonah has been to many different places. Think of the people you must have seen.
I can't stay. I must be on my way.
Very well. Goodbye. I'm not as beautiful as some of the girls you've seen.
You are. I mean in a different way.
In what way? Well, tell me.
Why do you speak as if you command?
I didn't mean to, Jonah.
Who are you?
My name is Judith. My uncle is Prince Ahab.
Jonah stayed and spoke of his travels and did not return at once to the desert. Day after day, he and Judith met outside the palace. And when his mother spoke again of a feast in his honor, Jonah said nothing against it. And finally, the night of the feast came, and everyone in the village came to honor the prophet, even Prince Ahab and his niece, the Lady Judith.
Thank you.
Jonah, let's sit here, away from everyone.
Yes, Judith.
Just think. They say you're the greatest man in Israel. How proud you must be.
All I did was speak as God told me to.
You're modest. And always a little sad.
And sometimes you're very sad.
I'm sad now. Why should I be sad, Jonah? Is it because everything's so beautiful? The moonlight and the smell of jasmine. Why should something so beautiful want to make me cry, Jonah?
All that's beautiful comes from the Lord. But you're not sure of him. That's what makes you want to cry. That's why all Israel is sad, too.
Oh, I'm not sad because of that. God has been good to me. And I prayed to my two little doves.
Judith!
Oh, don't be angry. They are little doves made of silver. They're sacred to Astarte. My uncle brought them to me from Tyre. I was unhappy, and I prayed to them. That day we met. So you see, I can't be sad. Because the doves answered me.
You must not pray to such idols. You must pray only to the Lord. He is mightiest of all.
Then why must you go to him in the desert after tonight? To help him?
I must go for my sake.
For your sake? And how about me? Don't you understand? I'm sad because you're leaving. I'm glad I told you. Oh, Jonah, take me with you.
To the desert?
Yes.
But there are no women in the desert.
I'll be the first.
You don't know what you're saying, Judith. The heat, the hours of meditation, the silence, the waiting for a voice.
I'd only want to hear your voice. Oh, Jonah.
I must go back without you.
Don't you think God would understand if you went back a little later? After we were married?
Yes. I think he would understand.
And so it was that Jonah's mother and his uncle went to Prince Ahab to discuss the matter.
What? What? Ridiculous.
Why is it ridiculous, Your Highness? My son is a great prophet.
And famous.
Yes, famous. Of course, he's poor. But what does wealth mean to you who have so much?
What impudence. Woman, let me tell you that my sister's daughter shall not marry a pauper, prophet or no prophet. Tell your son to go back to the desert. Where he belongs.
Jonah lingered on, waiting for word from Judith. When none came after 7 days, he climbed the hill to her garden, where he found not only Judith, but also...
All is for me, Hiram. But I have so many.
None like this. It's dyed with Tyrian purple and has a fringe. And look, the little doves of Astarte are on it, woven in silver. I brought it just for you, Judith.
Oh, how I should like to go to Tyre and see everything.
You will. Who is that?
Jonah.
I have business with the lady Judith. Please leave us.
What does this mean, Judith? What does he want?
Please, Hiram. I'll talk to him.
Very well. If you need me, I'll be close by.
Well, Jonah, I suppose now you'll be going back to the desert soon.
That's all you have to say?
What else?
Is it so easily forgotten in 7 days?
7 days is a long time. Especially when you have things to do and new people to meet. And you're getting ready for a trip.
You were once going to the desert.
Was I? Oh, Jonah, what must you think of me? I didn't know what I was doing then. But after I'd cried and my uncle the prince had done with ranting at me, I saw how foolish the whole thing was. You have your work.
But what of you, Judith? I must think of you.
I'm going to be married, Jonah.
Judith?
To the man you just saw. A great merchant of Tyre. But you, Jonah, you must go on. Be a great prophet for everybody's sake.
And Jonah turned away. All day he wandered without knowing where, until his feet led him at evening to the garden of his old teacher, Naaman, whom he had not seen for many years.
So, my son, you have hurt yourself.
Naaman, how can one love and then not love? And where is the Lord all the time? I prayed for help. Why is he so silent?
You blame the Lord.
No, I just don't understand it. That's why I came to see you, as I used to do when something troubled me. Naaman, there were two of us in love with Judith. I prayed to the Lord. Hiram the Phoenician prayed to the doves of Astarte, and he won. Why?
My son, you've traveled and learned much. Have you not learned that there is only one God? Did you not find that in the desert, Jonah?
Yes, Naaman, that I know. But I have also been in Aram, where men worship snakes. And I heard of a land far to the south where pygmies live. They have idols which are only 2 feet high. You should travel and learn about such things.
I do not need to travel, Jonah. I am an old man, and no longer steeped with the hope of changing anyone. But this I have learned with my heart. There is one God, and he is all things. He is in this peaceful garden, the sun that sets, the moon that rises, the breezes of evening whispering through the leaves of my acacia trees. He is everything that was and will be. He does not war with other gods of men's imagination. And when you doubt him, you doubt the very breath of your life. You do doubt him, don't you, Jonah? Go back to the desert and listen to him once more in the stillness of your heart. Somehow, he will show you.
And Jonah returned to the desert, to his hut among the gloomy rocks. The beasts of the field were his companions, and the wind whispered across the sands. And Jonah listened for a voice. But he heard many voices. They were the voices of demons, but also they were voices he knew.
Forget God.
Forget him.
He can't help you.
He can't help you.
Go away. Away.
Go away.
He can't help you now.
He can't help you now.
Demons of the desert laughed with wild peals of laughter, bitter and full of pain, cruel and without pity. But then at last, Jonah heard the voice he had been waiting for.
Jonah, your eyes shall be opened. Arise, go to Nineveh. Cry out against that great city for its sins.
Nineveh? What have I to do with Nineveh? Am I a prophet to the Assyrians? I am a Jew.
Go, do the Lord's bidding. Or do you still doubt the Lord?
Over what does he rule? Was he God of Israel when a Phoenician stole my love? Or has he power over Tyre, too, that he lets his servants suffer? Or is he God of the desert where the demons mock me and the very stones cry out against me? Nineveh, Nineveh, in whose name shall I cry out against Nineveh? Do the gods of the Assyrians visit their wrath upon Jerusalem? What power has the Lord in Nineveh? I stand here in the darkness and ask, what is he God of?
Jonah, go to Nineveh.
He is not God in Nineveh, and I will not go.
The wrath of the Lord, slow to start, flamed for a moment over the desert, and Jonah cowered to earth while the ground shook. But then it was gone, and Jonah sat in silence. The desert was quiet. And Jonah said in his heart, I will leave God. Jonah started out next day, not for Nineveh, but for the coast. He traveled swiftly, and on the night of the second day came to Joppa, where ships lay at anchor in the gray fog. In the morning, he found a ship bound west for Tarshish. He made his bargain and went on board. Soon, the ship moved out of the harbor, and before long, there was nothing but water around them, everywhere. And Jonah sat silent and peaceful as the sails sang in the wind.
God has lost me at last.
And Jonah slept. But then the wind died, and an ominous haze came over the sky.
Draw in the veil!
Draw in the veil!
Then the sea began to roll, and suddenly, it seemed as if the sky fell down upon the sea. The tiny ship dashed about in the water like a cork. The sailors fell upon their knees and prayed to their gods. And then Jonah spoke.
It is my fault. I alone am to blame. I brought this upon you. It is my life that is wanted. Throw me overboard.
How, Dad? How do you mean?
I am a Hebrew who denied the Lord. Throw me into the sea.
And the sailors seized Jonah and cast him overboard. Died away. Jonah struggled through the waters, but when all breath was about gone, the huge, dark form of Leviathan came out of the sea and swallowed Jonah the prophet.
I'm sorry, Jonah. Those were my orders. The Lord told me not to let you drown.
God spoke to you?
Why not? Why shouldn't he?
I don't know. It seems so...
So strange? Do you think he commands only men?
I see now that he does not. He commands the fish of the sea, the hosts of the air, and all creatures of the earth. There is one God only, and none else.
On the third day, Leviathan cast Jonah upon the sand as God had commanded him. And now at last, Jonah set his feet on the road to Nineveh. And as he went, he spoke to his God.
Lord, forgive me. I have heard you speak and did not know that your voice filled the earth. I did not know that you were in the thunder of the sea, the holy calm of evening in a village street, in loneliness itself. I thought to run away from you, and to help me find you, you cast me into the deep. The waves passed over my soul, Lord, but I did not perish. You heard me cry and remembered me. And in Nineveh, too, I will find you.
And now we present Dr. Herman Halperin, Rabbi of the Tree of Life Congregation of Pittsburgh. Speaking from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Dr. Halperin.
We have been privileged this morning to listen to a modern midrash of the Jonah story. The story of the prophet Jonah is an old one. The theme has been the subject of many sermons and preachments. The vitality of this morning's presentation is due not merely to the modernity of Robert Nathan's midrash and to the vigor of its adaptation by the eternal light. The perennial novelty of the Jonah theme lies in the fact that deep down in our subconscious selves, there is the feeling that we have not yet accepted Jonah's religious experience as valid for us. Jonah's discovery that there is one God who speaks to all humanity and to the whole of reality is not yet our very own real conviction. It is one thing to give lip service to the belief in one God. It is another to so live and act as if we believed it to be true. If we believe in one God, it follows logically that we should believe in one race of mankind. If we look further at that belief through the eyes of a historian, we are led to acknowledge that such a belief could have been enunciated to the world only because men of prophetic insight conceived intuitively of the unity of the human race. No prophet could have taught us to believe in one God unless he himself believed at the same time in one human race, in a common humanity. So Jonah became a great prophet for everybody's sake. He came to love the Assyrians of Nineveh as he loved his own people. He was a prophet to the Assyrians because he was a true prophet to Israel. The truth which the story of Jonah exemplifies was valid not only for all nations in his time, but also for all generations. Thousands of years after his death, our acceptance of his teaching remains the final test of whether we really believe in one God.
Thank you, Dr. Halperin.